أعمالنا، ويهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، the salah or the prayer is the second pillar of Islam, and it is the most important pillar after the iman or the tawheed, after the shahada. And it has such a great importance in Islam that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has indicated that whoever does not pray, he is a kafir. He is a kafir, and with a known difference among the ulama as to whether this is kufr ridda or kufr by actions. That does not necessarily mean that he renounced Islam, but at least his action is an action of kufr, which is the correct opinion, inshallah. But whichever is the case, it is a it is described by Allah like that, or by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam like that, when he said, "العهد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاة فمن تركها فقد كفر." The عهد or the covenant that is between us and them is the salah, and whoever leaves it or drops it is a kafir. And as we know that Allah Azza wa Jal, and we said this earlier in some earlier lecture, Allah Azza wa Jal would not require from us anything but for our benefit. But for our benefit. And for the prayer in particular, for the salat, Allah Azza wa Jal required it from us and made it the second pillar of Islam and gave it its great and high position in Islam because of the benefits in it for the Muslims that are not fulfilled by other acts of worship, and that it surpasses other acts of worship in them. The salah is the connection between the servant and his Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is also, we discussed this briefly in a previous lecture here, it is the thing into which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to rush when he felt that he was in a tight situation or in a hard situation. كان إذا حزبه أمر فزع إلى الصلاة. When he was faced by a hardship, he would rush to the prayer. So the prayer would give him the serenity and the confidence that a believer lacks in this life in order to attain the happiness, the spiritual happiness that one looks for. So with this meaning or these meanings and understanding, we want to see the many different things or aspects that give the salah its high position in Islam, and we will list as many of them as the time permits on this board for your easy reference inshallah. The first thing that gives the prayer its important position is what we mentioned earlier, which is that it is the second pillar of faith, or the first pillar after Iman. Once a person admits, confesses Islam by words, by saying Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, then the first pillar that comes after that is the prayer. So it is first practical pillar of faith of Islam, sorry. First practical pillar of Islam. And Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, indicates this, as in his saying in Surah At-Tawbah, فَإِنْ تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَخَلُّوا سَبِيلَهُمْ. If they repent and establish the prayer and give the zakah, then let them, set them free. So he started by mentioning the salah because of its importance. And also he says in the same surah, فَإِنْ تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. Then they are your brothers in the deen. And he says subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Bayyinah, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ وَيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَ. They have not been commanded but to worship Allah with sincere religion, or offering their religion sincerely to Him, and establish the prayer and pay or give the zakah, and that is the correct and good religion. As for the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says in the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, umirtu an uqatila an-nas hatta أمرت أن أقاتل الناس حتى يشهدوا أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله ويقيم الصلاة ويؤت الزكاة فإن فعلوا ذلك فقد عصموا مني دماءهم وأموالهم إلا بحقها وحسابهم على الله. This hadith is recorded in Bukhari and Muslim, and it's one of the first few of the Nawawi hadith, maybe the third or fourth or fifth. He says, I have been commanded to fight against the people until they bear witness that there is no God, no true God deserving worship but Allah, and that Muhammad is Rasulullah, and then establish the prayer and give the zakah. So these are always the first pillars. I mean, the zakah is always mentioned with the prayer, or usually mentioned with the prayer in the Quran as well as the Sunnah, but the prayer or the Salah comes first. If they do that, then they have protected from me themselves and their dima'ahum, their bloods and their wealth, their property or their possessions, except with what is right, which means rahmatullah, unless they commit something that makes their blood or their wealth permissible to be for punishment. Otherwise, like when somebody kills a Muslim, then he deserves to be killed, intentionally kills him, he deserves to be killed. When somebody kills a Muslim without without intention, by mistake, then he has to pay the diyah. So his wealth becomes permissible to the ruler, which means he can take of it whatever is required for the diyah. In the first case, the ruler can kill him, even though he confessed Islam. So that's the haqq that this hadith is talking about. So they protect from me, once they say that, they do that, then they are Muslims. And they do not lose any of the rights of a Muslim unless they do something that will make it lawful
for the ruler to take that right from them. وَحِسَابُهُمْ Allah, and their judgment is with Allah. And also what Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم sent Mu'adh to Al-Yaman, he also told him to teach the people, or to invite the people there to certain things, and among them is the prayer, when he said, إِنَّكَ تَأْتِي قَوْمًا أَهْلَ كِتَابٍ لِيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ شَهَادَةَ أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوكَ لِذَلِكَ فَأَخْبِرُهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ افْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ خَمْسَ صَلَوَاتٍ فِي الْيَوْمِ وَاللَّيْلَةِ He told him, you are going to people who are Ahl Kitab, who have been exposed to the books before this. So let the first thing that you invite them to be the Shahada. And then if they accept that, if they obey you in that, then tell them that Allah has prescribed for them 5 prayers in a day and night. The second thing that gives that points to the great position of Salah in Islam is that it is a requirement that was required from all the prophets, from the previous prophets as well as the last prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the previous prophets. As Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى إِلَيْكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى Surah Taha, when Allah Azza wa Jal was addressing Musa, he said, فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي So he commanded Musa, I am Allah, there is no God worthy of being worshipped but me. So worship me and establish the prayer for my remembrance. And he said, also telling Musa and his brother Harun, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى وَأَخِيهِ أَن تَبَوَّآ لِقَوْمِكُمَا بِمِصْرَ بُيُوتًا وَجَعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ قِبْلَةً وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ Which means, we commanded Musa and his brother that أَنْتَ بَوَّآ لِقَوْمِكُمْ بِمِصْرَ بُيُوتًا Which means, establish you and your brother for your people houses in Egypt, houses for worship, and make your houses qibla. And qibla means places where people turn to, could mean that, but what it means actually is make them places of prayer. Qibla here means places where people turn to the qibla, because their qibla was to turn to Jerusalem. So make your houses places of qibla, which means places of prayer. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَةِ And establish the prayer. So this is a command to Musa and his brother. Also Allah Azza wa Jal tells us about Ibrahim alayhi salam that he was making dua that his descendants and other people would establish the prayer by saying, رب إني أسكنت من ذرية واد غير ذي زرع عند بيتك المحرم ربنا ليقيم الصلاة I have left some of my descendants by your sacred house, O my Lord, so that they may establish the prayers. And there are many other ayat in regard to a number of other prophets as well. So it is a command that was required from the previous prophets. And, you know, really, when we think about it, a person cannot live without the prayer, regardless of the form of the prayer. One cannot have life, true life, his heart cannot be alive, he would not or cannot find happiness in this life without the prayer. So how then would we expect that Allah would deny such an obligation for any of the people that He loves, for the previous prophets? He definitely has commanded them to perform the prayer through the ages. Through the ages, from the beginning till the end, they were always praying. Now the form of the prayer may have varied a little bit from one prophet to the other, but on the overall, it must carry the same meaning and the same substance, so that it would produce the benefit that we seek from the prayer, so that it would be the strong connection that we have, that we need with our Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave bay'ah to the people, similar to number one or related to number one, is that among the first things that he took the covenant from the people for or over is to establish or to offer the prayer. He, Jarir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu, said, بايعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على إقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة والنصح لكل مسلم. I gave the bay'ah, the covenant, to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم over what? To establish the prayer, to give the zakah, and to give advice to every Muslim. To be advising to every Muslim, which means to be truthful to every Muslim. To be truthful to every Muslim. That is what the word nasaha means in Arabic. Means to be pure or sincere or truthful with every Muslim. So when we see that a Muslim needs our help by words, then we give him that words and we do not hide them from him. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he gave covenant to some to the people, he would first of all require from them the shahada and then the prayer, because the prayer is like the first or the top, the most important of the bodily ibadat or acts of worship. And that was followed by, that is usually followed by zakah, as we said. All these ayat that we mentioned and ahadith associate the salah with the zakah, or most of them. And that is because zakah is like the head or the top of the monetary acts of worship. And also Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it, as we indicated in the beginning, that it is the first or the second, the first practical pillar of Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it the main pillar and the central pillar, you can call it. So if Islam, let's say, is a building which has five pillars, here's one, two, this masjid has three pillars, so we cannot take this as an example, but I'll, you know, give an example like this, where you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So these are five pillars for this building, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So you can think of this as, I didn't draw it well. You can think of this as, you know, there's the pillar of the shahada. This pillar, without it, actually any of those pillars, if they do not stand, the building cannot stand. So the building requires all of them to stand. If somebody says, I will give the shahada but I do not want to pray, or I will give zakah but not pray or not fast or something like that, then this building will fall. However, we said that for the shahada it has a special value, that if a person says it sincerely, truly, then even if he does not perform any of the other pillars, then this pillar by itself is sufficient to support the building to some degree, which means it will be sufficient to let the person into Jannah at some point, even though he may be punished for many ages, long ages in the hellfire, because of his neglect of the other pillars. So it would probably be more appropriate to draw this so that the Shahada is like now you have, it's like a central pillar on which the building stands, and it could hold the whole building, but it will not be a strong building. It will not be a strong building at all, and there is a good chance that it is a fake building, that this Shahada is not true, because it is not supported by or fortified by the other pillars. Now there are the other pillars here, 5 of them. And again, I made this a little off. And there is the 5th pillar here on the back that comes to here. I don't know if you can envision what I'm trying to draw, but anyways, we have 4 pillars, and the most important of these 4 pillars is the prayer without doubt. So that's why you hear people sometimes call it Amud al-Din or Imad al-Din for the prayer. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described this kind of building of Islam by saying, Islam is built on 5. Buniya al-Islamu ala 5. Shahadati an la ilaha illallah, wa iqami al-salati, wa ita'i al-zakah, wa hajj al-bayt, wa sawmi ramadan. So these are the 5 pillars of Islam, and the prayer, as we said, is after the Shahada, is the most important of them. And of its great value and position is that Allah loves us to offer it on its time. Rather, this is one of the most beloved deeds to Him. Allah loves performing it on time. As is mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Abdullah ibn Mas'ud asked him, "What are the most beloved deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" He said, "As-salatu ala waqtiha," the prayer on its time. This is the most beloved deed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, "Thumma ay," what comes next? He said, "Birru al-walidain," righteousness or goodness to the parents. He said, "Thumma ay," what comes next? He said, "Al-jihadu fi sabilillah," striving and fighting for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar reported from Ibn Daqiq al-Eid that he said that in this hadith that I just told you about, in which Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam these 3 questions, this hadith mentions the bodily acts of worship. And that is assuming that a person has fulfilled the deeds of the heart, that he has the true belief and he has the things that follow from it. Because in another hadith, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which of the deeds is best? Ayyul a'mali afdal? Qal al-imanu billah, to believe in Allah. So he said, أفضل الأعمال إيمان بالله. So there is no contradiction between the two. The إيمان بالله comes first, where the Shahada is, and then after that, assuming that is fulfilled, then the prayer on time is the next. And of its great importance is that it is the first thing that for which, upon which, on which, in regard to which, abd or a servant of Allah is, what's the rest of this sentence? Huh? Question one. On the day of judgment, exactly. That's the hadith. أول ما يحاسب العبد عليه من عمله يوم القيامة الصلاة. The first thing that one is questioned about or judged in regard to on the day of judgment is the salah. On the day of judgment. And this is the hadith reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Inna awwala ma yuhasabu bihi an-nasu yawm al-qiyamati, this is one of the reports, min a'malihim as-salah. Yaqulu rabbuna 'azza wa jalla li malaikatihi wa huwa a'lam, unzuru fi salati 'abdi atammaha am anqasaha. Which means the first thing that the people will be judged for on the day of judgment is the salah. Our Lord 'azza wa jalla will say to his angels, and he knows better, check or look into the salah of my servant. Did he complete it or make it incomplete? فَإِذَا كَانَتْ تَامَّةً كُتِبَتْ لَهُ تَامَّةً. If it was complete, it will be written for him or recorded as being complete. وَإِنْ كَانَ انْتَقَصَ مِنْهَا شَيْئًا قَالَ انْظُرُوا هَلْ لِعَبْدِي مِنْ تَطَوَّعٍ فَإِنْ كَانَ لَهُ تَطَوَّعٍ قَالَ أَتِمُّ لِعَبْدِي فَرِيضَتَهُ مِنْ تَطَوَّعِهِ. ثُمَّ تُؤْخَذُ الْأَعْمَالُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. So if it is complete, then it will be written to him as being complete. If it is not, then Allah says, see if he has any voluntary prayer that will be used to complete his obligatory prayer. And then after that, the other things will be, the other deeds will be treated in a similar way, which means fasting will be treated in a similar way. Zakah will be treated in a similar way. If a person did not pay all of his zakah, but he has paid some charity, then that will be taken and added to his charity, to his zakah. And similarly for fasting, if he did not fast all his days, but or his fasting was not complete and completely acceptable, then some of his voluntary fasting will be taken to complete that, and so on. So other deeds, Allahu A'lam, we were not told about that. This is all what the hadith tells us. Allahu A'lam. But if a person has done extra good deeds in one area, but he has done less in other areas, then that will give him shafa'ah, which means that area will tashfa' to the other area, which means will help the other area in which he has shortcomings. As we know from some hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, when he tells us about some people who did not do good, or they did very little good in everything, but they did some good in some specific areas, and that was enough to save them from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the person who used to say, send his employees to collect his debts. And he used to tell them, if somebody, you find that he is in a tight situation, then just overlook him. Do not pressure him too much. That was the only good deed that he did in his life. So when he came before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal said to his angels, he deserves, we are more worthy of forgiving, of generosity than him. So he used to overlook, we will overlook him or his shortcomings and let him into, or admit him into Jannah. Okay, then the prayer is a source of expiation of sins, purification from sins. As we have seen also in a previous lecture, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, for example, أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَوْ أَنَّ نَهْرًا بِبَابِ أَحَدِكُمْ يَغْتَسِلُ فِيهِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ خَمْسًا كُلَّ يَوْمٍ خَمْسَ مَرَّاتٍ مَا تَقُولُ ذَلِكَ يُبْقِي مِنْ دَرَنِهِ أَوْ أَيُبْقِي ذَلِكَ مِنْ دَرَنِهِ شَيْئًا قَالُوا لَا يُبْقِي قَالُوا لَا يُبْقِي مِنْ دَرَنِهِ شَيْئًا قَالَ فَذَلِكَ مَثَلُ الصَّلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسِ يَمْحُ اللَّهُ بِهَا الْخَطَايَا. He said, do you see if there is a river by the house of one of you, in which one takes a bath in it 5 times a day? Would that leave any of his sins or any of his, the dirt on his body? He said no. They said no. He said that is the example of the 5 prayers. Allah Azza wa Jal removes, cleans by means of them the sins from the people. And there is another. Everything, which means that requires some tafsir. Without specifying whether they are major or minor, we have to take them as being referring to all the sins, and that does not conflict with Allah's forgiveness. Rather, this is what we expect from Allah's great forgiveness and generosity. But you know, for the committer of major sins, Allah Azza wa Jal would remove from him the dirt or the effects, some of the effects of the major sins. But in order to remove the trace of the sin, the root of the sin completely, that would require a complete tawbah from that sin. Otherwise, it's like he is still in the sin. So it's like, you know, you have a weed in your garden that is causing so much harm to the other plants around it. So you come and you cut its tip from above. It will grow again. You cut it again, it will grow again. But if you dig it out and take it from the roots, that is when you have gotten rid of it. So the same, Wallahu A'lam, applies to the major sins. But this is just a very brief, quick explanation of it. There is another hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in which he says, which he says is similar to this hadith, it's also authentic. He says that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but these are not pillars now, these are rivers. Okay, and this is your house, and this is where you work. Drawing is not very good, but do you know what I'm trying to draw here? Huh? Fire. So the Prophet ﷺ says that when you leave your houses, you burn yourselves, or something to that effect. I don't have the exact text of this hadith here now, but that's its meaning. It's like you burn yourselves. So by going through those 5 rivers, you cleanse yourself, or you cure yourself from the traces of this burning. So this is the example of the 5 prayers. And another hadith that you probably have heard, Rasulullah ﷺ says, تَحْتَرِقُونَ تَحْتَرِقُونَ. You burn, which means throughout the day you commit sins that burn you up. فَإِذَا صَلَّيْتُمُ الصُّبْحِ. Then when you pray the subah, then you are forgiven, which means from your sins. Then تَحْتَرِقُونَ تَحْتَرِقُونَ. Then you go back and commit more sins. And then when you pray Dhuhr, you are cured, you are forgiven. And then Asr, then Maghrib, then Isha. So this is the example of the 5 prayers. It's like 5 rivers that you cross every day, or 1 river that you use 5 times a day to cleanse yourself. Allah Azza wa Jal praised those who pray in many places of his book, like his saying, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. And he said, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. And he said, إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. And then the other ayah in the same surah, the first 2 ayat are from Surah Al-Mu'minun, and the other 2 ayat from Surah Al-Ma'arij. First, they both talk about the believers. And in the first he says, they are indeed successful, the believers, who the first description of them is that they have khushu'ah, they have devotion in their prayer. And then he said afterwards in the same surah, الَّذِينَ وَعَلَى صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ, the ones who maintain their prayers. In Surah Al-Ma'arij, he said that the human being is terrified, is created in a way that he is scary, he is always terrified. Whenever some harm happens to him, he becomes too scared, he loses hope. And whenever he is given some good from Allah, he is manu'a, which means he wants it all for himself, he doesn't want to share it with anyone or give from it to anyone. And then he says this is the quality of the people in general, except the good ones among them. Who are they? إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ. The first description of them is that they are الْمُصَلِّينَ, those who perform the prayers. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ, who are consistent on their prayer, in their prayer. And later on he said وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ, those who maintain their prayers. So you see that because of its importance, he started and ended by it in these two places of the Quran. So Allah Azza wa Jal praised those who, the believers who perform the prayers, and performing them of course means with devotion. So to get the best, the most benefit out of them. Praise from Allah for those who pray or who maintain the prayers. Also that he subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the other hand, he prayed those who perform it. He warned those who do not perform it and condemn them. Warning and condemnation of those who do not pray. Who knows an example of this? Anybody remembers an ayah that tells us about this? That's on the day of judgment. But why they could not do it then? We need an ayah which is more direct. قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. What took you into Saqar? Saqar, the hellfire. They said, we did not pray. In this life, we were not of those who prayed. And also, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Wail is also a valley in the hellfire like Saqar for the Musallim, for those who pray, but الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ, they are unconcerned, careless about their prayers. So they pray some, they miss some. فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيًّا. جزاكَ اللَّهُ. Which means there came after them a generation who lost the prayer, missed the prayers, and followed the desires. So again, one of their major distinctive features is that they lost the prayer, they did not maintain it. And he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَا صَدَّقَ وَلَا صَلَّى وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى in Surah Al-Qiyamah. And he says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ ارْكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ in Surah Al-Mursalat. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ ارْكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ, when they are told, perform ruku, but they do not perform it. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ, woe be, or woe is on that day for the deniers. And as we mentioned earlier, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَيْسَ بَيْنَ الْعَبْدِ وَبَيْنَ الْكُفْرِ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ إِلَّا تَرْكُ الصَّلَاةِ. This is in Sahih Muslim, which means there is not between the believer and between him and disbelief except that he would drop the prayer. And he said the hadith that you mentioned earlier, الْعَهْدُ الَّذِي بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمُ الصَّلَاةُ فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. The covenant between us and them, the disbelievers, is the prayer. So whoever leaves it is a kafir. Okay, we mentioned the difference among the scholars about what kind of kufr is this, so there is no need to repeat it now. And what indicates also the great importance of the prayer is that Allah required cleanliness and tahara for the prayer. Allah required cleanliness and tahara. And we know that wudu is a requirement for the prayer. So one needs to purify himself, cleanse himself, and cover his awrah, beautify himself for the prayer, as Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu khudhu zinatakum 'inda kulli masjid," O you who believe, take your adornment for every masjid. And masjid here means place of sujood for every prayer. Adorn yourselves. And Allah Azza wa Jalla commands us in two places of the Quran to perform wudu for the prayer, and describes the wudu that we need to perform. Also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us about in his sunnah about the obligation of wudu for the prayer, and that he say that there is no prayer, or Allah does not accept the prayer without tahur, or without wudu, without tahur, and so on. So the requirement requiring cleanliness and adornment, halal adornment of course, for it. That's number 8 here. And then of the indications of its high position in Islam is that we perform it with our body and with our heart. So this is different from other acts of worship, that we either perform them by bodily, you know, with our bodies, or some of them that are performed only by the tongue or by the heart. This is performed in a complete way by everything in our body, by our hands, our feet, our eyes, our head, our toes. Everything in our body performs the prayer, plus our tongue, plus our hearts. And also of its great importance that Allah Azza wa Jal made it a source of support and help for the believers, by his saying, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. So number 9 was that, what was it? What was number 9? The one we just mentioned for them. Well, this is number 10, huh? 10, that it is a source of help and support. Number 9, we said that it is performed with body and heart. As Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in regard to this, it just came to my mind to mention that Allah Azza wa Jal yansib wajhahu liwajhi abdihi fi as-salati ma lam yaltafit. Allah Azza wa Jal turns his face towards the face of his servant during the prayer as long as he doesn't turn away, which means as long as we are in concentration and understanding in our prayer, then Allah is listening to us and accepting from us. But if we turn away, Not only by our bodies. If we turn away with our minds, with our hearts, then we lose the value of the prayer. We lose Allah's listening to us. So this shows that we need to perform it not only with our bodies as a mechanical act, but also with our bodies. Okay. So here we said the ayah. It's a source of help and support. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "Wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah, wa innaha lakabiratun illa 'alal khashi'in." And seek help with impatience and the prayer. And indeed, it is great, which means it is hard to get that benefit from it, except for those who have devotion in their heart. So if a person does not have the devotion and submission in his heart, then he will have some of the ways of the hypocrites that Allah Azza wa Jalla describes by saying, وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالًا. So it's time for the prayer, they come dragging their feet and saying, why? I mean, we just prayed the previous prayer. I mean, it's not time yet. We are not ready for the next one. So it is hard, it is heavy for them. But for the one who has khushu' in his heart, who has devotion, who has submission to Allah Azza wa Jal, he realizes the great importance and benefit that he derives out of the prayer. So for him it is light. It's not heavy, rather it's light. He starts the prayer and before he notices it, the prayer is over. He did not have enough time to enjoy it, like when you are enjoying something very good. Whereas some people, they start the prayer, but they do not notice the passage of time because it finishes so fast, because their mind is somewhere else. But no, for the one who has khushu' in his heart, who has devotion, he enjoys the prayer so much because he realizes the strong benefit that it's giving him, the strong link that it is establishing between himself and his Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we heard that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to, when he was in a hard situation, he used to rush to the prayer. And on the day of the battle, on the night of the battle of Badr, the Sahaba fell asleep, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam all night long was standing praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making dua until the morning. Okay, we are running short of time, so I try to summarize the remaining points as much as possible. Because of its great importance, Allah Azza wa Jalla has prescribed 5 prayers in the day and night. And as we know from the hadith of Al-Mi'raj, these were supposed to be 10 times as much, which means 50 prayers. But Allah Azza wa Jalla reduced them to 5, still giving us the reward for them as if they were 50. And this is because of its great importance. As we know that from some of the practices of the non-Muslims, some of them pray once a day. Those are the religious among them. They pray once a day, and sometimes before going to sleep. And it's not like our prayer. They kneel down and they say a few words, and that is their prayer. But because of its importance and value and benefit for the believer, Allah Azza wa Jalla required it from us as an obligation, as a minimum obligation, 5 times a day. And with a certain numbers of rak'at that total up to 17 rak'ah. Because of its great importance and benefit for us. In addition, of course, to the voluntary prayers like the night prayer and other prayers that have been prescribed in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So being 5 times is an indication of its importance. And an indication of its importance is that there is nothing in the whole life that is worth even as much as 2 rak'at of prayer. nothing in this whole life. So it is more important than all of the life that we live in. More important. Than whole world. As Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when he passed by the grave of a person, and he said, "Rak'atani ahabbu ila hada min baqiyati dunyakum," which means two rak'at for him to pray. This dead person. Two rak'at are more beloved to him than the rest of your life, which means the rest of your world, which means whatever is left over in your world, which means the whole world. Which means the dead person, if he is given chance to live now, he would rather pray two rak'at than get all the belongings of this world. But as we know, of course, we have covers on our eyes, so we do not see this. We do not realize this. So we do not realize, we do not weigh things the right way, we do not realize that if I pray two rak'at with understanding, with khushu', with devotion, it is much better for me than to go out and make a business deal that will bring me millions of dollars. There's no comparison. The two rak'at are much more valuable and important, and they will last until the next life, whereas anything from this world will not last unless we use it in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do you have? Is there a question? Okay, I don't know if we will have any time for questions, because all we had is 1 hour, but we'll see inshallah. Maybe that means that we need to stop here soon, and the remaining 5 minutes answer some questions. We see. Now, one of the important or the indications of the importance of the prayer is what was mentioned by the brother over there, I think, that on the Day of Judgment, that the difference between the believers and the non-believers. The believers can make sujood, but the disbelievers, they can't make sujood. They are invited to make sujood, but they will not be able to perform it. يَدْعَوْنَا إِلَى السُّجُودِ وَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. And also, okay. JazakAllah khair. Believers. Perform sujood, or can pray on Day of Judgment. Believers can pray, but disbelievers cannot. And also an important thing here is that on the Day of Judgment, Allah Azza wa Jalla has prohibited the fire from what? From eating or touching or burning the place of sujood. Of course, this is assuming that the person performs sujood with true and sincere devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person did that, then his sujood is an indication of his submission, total submission to Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jal therefore protects that place that showed this submission from being burned in the fire. There are a few other things, many other things actually, that we can mention about the things that give the salah its great position in Islam. It is the act of worship that is most frequently mentioned in the Quran. It is the its obligation is on the male and female, on the slave and on the free one, on the poor and rich, on the sick as well as the one who is healthy, and so on. So there is no one who is exempt of the prayer. Why? Because being exempt of the prayer is like being exempt of mercy, of this great relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jalla would not take away from us this great benefit that we can have through the prayer. And so on. So inshallah, probably this is sufficient to cover most of the points that we relate to the importance of the prayer. And there is, I don't know how many books there are available in English, but I know the book by Hussein Awaisha, which is called The Prayer, and what is the rest of the title? The Prayer and Its Effect, or The Effect of the Prayer on Something. It's published by Al-Hidayah and it's available in English. So that book has a section about this subject, the position of the prayer in Islam, or the importance of the prayer. Why is the prayer so important in Islam? So you can refer to it. Now let's see, look quickly at these remaining these questions that we just got in the remaining few minutes. It says, is it better or a must that one should sleep and then get up for performing the Qiyam al-Layl? No, it's not required. And if you refer to my book on the night prayers, I think I mentioned something in that regard about the practice, about what Umar radiallahu anhu and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to do. That Umar used to pray at the end of the night, Umar at the end of the night, Abu Bakr at the beginning of the night, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approved of both of their action. So it is not required that the night prayer be preceded by sleep. If a person finds that he has stayed up late, then it's better for him to pray before going to sleep than to sleep, because he may get up very tired, maybe he will miss the night prayer, the Qiyam prayer. So it's better for him to pray before going to sleep. But if he sleeps early, right after Isha, then especially in the long days of the year, then he will have long night in front of, ahead of him. So it's probably more recommended for him to wake up in the middle of the night when nobody is awake, because as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ قِيَامُ وَالنَّاسَ نِيَامُ. Pray at night while the people are sleeping. So that is better, to pray when the people are sleeping. But there is no requirement that the prayer should be preceded by sleep. You can pray it either time. It starts from the time of Isha prayer. Once you pray Isha, then you can pray the night prayer. Any time after that until Fajr. The best time for praying it is the last one third of the night. But if one cannot get up in the last one third of the night for one reason or the other, then he should try to pray it when he knows that he can pray it, which is when he's still awake before going to sleep. If a person performs salah without perfecting every part of wudu out of ignorance, not negligence, is there salah still accepted? Because this person did not know, or is it rejected? If the person did not know, then he is forgiven, inshallah, until he knows. Until he knows. So, but he should seek the knowledge. A person who does not know how to perform wudu should seek the knowledge. If he thought that he knew, but then he was actually wrong and he did not really know, then inshallah he is forgiven. But those who observe him or her should teach him or her, and so that they can, she can, or he can perform the prayer, the wudu in a better way, and the prayer as well. But yeah, Allah Azza wa Jalla has forgiven our ignorance, as in the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The next question: can you please repeat what you said about those who pray but are careless in their salah? But are careless in their salah. I don't remember in which regard we said that. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. Maybe she's referring to that. We were saying about talking about the people who, when they get up for the prayer, they get up while they are lazy. They get up lazily. They, like they are dragging their feet to the prayer. They do not have the longing, the shauq, the interest, the concern to pray. Rather, they are doing it as if they are forced to do it. So this is a quality of hypocrisy, that if a person has this in his heart, and it doesn't mean that he is a hypocrite for sure, but he has some element of hypocrisy. And we know that for many of us, we do find that sometimes when our iman is weak, then we are lazy with the prayer. When our iman is strong, then we are more caring and concerned about the prayer. So I hope that this answered the question, and this is what the sister means. This other question says, is it sufficient to run water through the roots of one's hair using the fingers when performing wudu, or must women also use both hands to wipe their full head from the front to the nape of the and the front again? The water does not have to reach the roots in the wudu. That's in ghusl, when it has to reach the base of the hair.